sermon Sunday, and I'm wondering if anybody wants to help Dawn and I in the children's department. You come on up here. There could be a pretty nice job for you to help us with.
You want to come sit with me?
I mean, if I can't get you up here, Dawn can do it. I mean, if you want to... Yeah, that's a good spot. That's a good spot. I've got some of my classic props here. John, you want to hold those for me? Thank you. So if you were hanging out with us for these last few weeks of Lent, you might... Is this in a good spot, Evan? Am I okay with that? We're doing our best here. One speaker, everybody. One speaker. Focus on the speaker. So in the weeks of Lent, you might have noticed that we had a lot of sermons that were about repentance. We had stuff like this unfruitful fruit tree, and we had the ungracious older brother, and we had Judas, the betrayer. And it feels a little bit heavy, but that's partly because during the season of Lent, we're being asked to look at our own lives and consider some things that we might want to let go of. So can everyone do that with me for a second? Hold your fists out like this. And then just think about that thing that maybe you let go of during Lent. Just let it go. Just open your fists, let it go. And we spent all those days of Lent letting those things go. Anybody want to share a thing they let go of? Like coffee, chocolate, social media. Shut something out. Come on. Interactive. We Baptists didn't do any Lenten practices. We're just shy. Sorry? Maybe. During that season of repentance, we're examining our lives and we're thinking, maybe there's some things I can let go of. Maybe there's some things I don't need to have in my life right now. Today is the day when that all switches up. And we actually get to do different kind of spiritual practice. And maybe that includes things that we might want to reach out and grab for and hold on to for ourselves. So for the next few minutes, I'm going to suggest a couple of spiritual practices that you didn't hear about in Sunday school. Partly for me, I sure didn't hear about it in Sunday school, because I remember my Sunday school teachers telling me, Easter is not about bunnies, and it's not about chicks and eggs. It's about Jesus and the risen tomb. I don't think my Sunday school teacher actually had that voice. I think I might be projecting there with that impression a little bit, but bear with me. So I'm going to try and redeem one element of Easter that maybe you got told wasn't about Jesus. But here's the thing about a spiritual practice. It doesn't have to be some fancy thing that some monk dreamt up or some pastor told you about. It can be a thing where you just draw your attention to the state of your own heart and soul and consider your place in the world. And in that spiritual practice, you can expose yourself to God's love. So, new spiritual practice, you want to hear it? Prop number one. Let's see here. That's the one. No, not that one. This is the one, yeah. Check out this little guy, huh? I was going to draw the emoji version of this, but it required way too much shading, and I am not that talented a colorer. Although I did say to my teacher in kindergarten, when am I ever going to use this coloring? And here I am. So I would actually argue that for the purposes of this spiritual practice, the chick and the egg, especially this little rascal breaking out of the shell, is actually a really good Easter image to keep in our minds. In the story we had read today, Jesus meets Mary Magdalene in the garden. And it's really important, this story, because the writer of John's gospel wants us to think of another garden way at the beginning of the Bible. Can anyone think of what that garden was called? Eden, right? So now we have Jesus, this fresh, new Jesus, a risen Jesus, standing in a garden with his friend. And I think this little rascal here, cracking out of this egg, might be just the perfect image of Jesus on Easter morning. Fresh and alive and new, bursting with possibility. We don't have to have this image of a stone rolling away from a hole in the ground. Has anyone here ever held like a little baby chick or a little kitten or a puppy? They smell kind of good, right? Puppy, chick, kitten, variation, yeah. Buffy and I once lived on a goat farm, and I didn't know how cute a baby goat could be until springtime came and all the baby goats were born. The freshness and the beauty and the wonder and the precious goodness of a thing like a baby chick is probably a pretty terrific image for us to hold in our minds whenever we think of Jesus on Easter, which is kind of crazy because you can buy eggs all the way through Easter. The mini eggs, Cadbury ones with that creamy nougat stuff in the middle. I don't know what does anyone even know what that is? Fondant? I guess it's fondant.
Sugar?
Yeah, plastic. Yeah. There's definitely sugar in there. But here's the cool thing about a spiritual practice. You can take a thing that maybe someone didn't even intend for you to use as a way to think about your life and your spiritual path in the world. But because now we've associated this chick bursting out of the shell, we can say, that makes me think of the freshness and newness and wonder of the risen Jesus. And so even when you're just at Walmart having the most secular encounter you've ever had, and you walk by the Easter section and there's not a Jesus statue and there's not a roll away the tomb model or anything, but you've got little chicks and eggs, you can take a moment in a spiritual practice to call your mind to the fact that the resurrected Jesus was a new creation, a fresh and a new and alive in a special way. And the cool thing about the promise of Easter is that it's not just Jesus who gets to be that chick in the egg bursting forth. It's us. It's all of creation in that egg, full of possibility, full of just ready to burst out and get all fuzzy and chirp and flop around and look super cute. So, do you think we could do that one? That one's not that hard. That wasn't too intense, right? Okay, I have another spiritual practice. Anyone want to hold the egg here? Okay, very good, very good. All right. Now, this one's going to be a little more controversial. I'm going to call it the spiritual practice of receiving chocolate. Again, I don't think chocolate is in the Bible. I'm really proud. I drew this one, and I honestly wanted to start eating it after I finished. No, it's not. Don't recommend. Anyways, chocolate is quite often associated with Lent because it is pretty delicious, and people give chocolate up for Lent. So maybe this isn't too far afield for anybody. But everybody knows that chocolate is everywhere at Easter time. Maybe it doesn't look like this. It comes in little egg shapes and bunny shapes. Always so disappointed when the bunny is hollow. That just feels like such a ripoff. I'll get over that. I'll talk to my counselor about that. So here's the thing. Chocolate, I mean, it's got a complicated history thanks to like 19th century industry and processing, but it represents the fruit of the earth, the goodness of creation. Chocolate starts off as this gnarly looking pod on a tree, and they pull out these seeds and they beat them all up and they grind them up and they dry them out and then they smush them and grind them and mix them some more, and then you finally get this delicious chocolate product. And it's easy. You could just say, chocolate's a thing I put in my face and it compromises my diet and makes me feel bad, or I don't know, you can associate it with any number of things. Or you can take the opportunity, kind of like with the little egg rascal there, and you can say, whenever I enjoy Easter chocolate, I'm actually participating in the receiving the fruits of God's goodness in the earth. Chocolate is like they took the fruits off the tree and this turned it into the purest, most delicious thing you could ever eat. I mean, unless you're not a chocolate fan, in which case I can't help you. By the way, white chocolate, not a chocolate. That's not chocolate. Sorry. So again, the spiritual practice of receiving chocolate, it starts off as just a regular thing that all kinds of people do. People that don't believe in anything like to eat chocolate. But if you choose to associate eating chocolate at Easter with receiving God's goodness in creation, receiving the sweetness of God's mercy and love for us, and you recognize that we are creatures who walk this earth and we get given this beautiful planet and it's got delicious things in it. Friends, we live in a world that quite often leaves a really bad taste in our mouths. And yet we also live in a world that sometimes lets us enjoy something like pure, sweet, delicious chocolate. I'm a dark chocolate person, married to a milk chocolate person. We found ways to work it out. So, I would encourage you, next time you see an egg at Easter, you get to imagine the risen Christ, fresh and new, and then you get to imagine yourself, the promise of Easter, fresh and new, and cute as a button. Let's go for it. Okay, so let's just build on this, and we're going to add one more spiritual practice based on the receiving of chocolate. Who wants to hold the chocolate bar? Okay, there, okay, your first hand's up. Okay, one more. Get a load of this guy here. Come on, check him out. What do you think he's experiencing right there? Or all right, let's turn around. Check this person out. I'm going to say that's a muffin. I'm not a master artist by any stretch. But what's happening? What kind of muffin do you think that is? Cherry muffin. I mean, that could be a thing. I mean, I'm normally more of a blueberry person myself, but cherries look kind of cool when you draw them in a little thing. Again, a spiritual practice is just a way that we turn our attention to the world that everyone else calls ordinary, and then we find ourselves in that world, and we attach ourselves to the love of God in that world and to the story of God for all creation. So maybe it's not a muffin for you. I mean, muffin people in the house, yeah, right? What would be another thing that might be a moment that you would savor in the way that this person's savoring a thing? Maybe it's a friendship. Maybe it's a time where you go for tea with someone, and in that moment, you just receive the goodness of that relationship. Maybe it's a walk on a day like today. Maybe it's hearing bird song up in the trees. Maybe it's smelling the flowers. Maybe it's the crunch of gravel under your feet when you're down in the river valley. A spiritual practice is a way to embrace the things that God has given us. It's a time for us to, I mean, again, the Lenten time of letting go of things, that had its place. But I want to encourage anyone who follows Jesus also to make the spiritual practice of embracing, of savoring, of celebrating, of experiencing all of the good things that God has put into this world. So with that, I want to leave you with one quote from one of my favorite theologians, and I've adapted this quote to Easter time. So if you recognize it, then we can talk about that later. Here we go. Half of Earth's gorgeousness lies hidden in the glimpsed garden it longs to become. We were given appetites not to consume the world and forget it, but to taste its goodness and hunger to make it come to life. May we be people who taste the goodness of the earth. May we be people who savor and celebrate the good things in this world despite all of the hard and difficult and unpleasant things. And may we be people who are Easter people in the truest sense of the word. Amen. Thanks be to God. Anybody want this guy? Now, one last thing before we go. I thought we should actually try practicing the receiving of chocolate. So if these young folks want to come and help, we've got some little bags of chocolate, and we're going to try and spread them out around the church. So, choir, you can't eat chocolate at this point. You still have singing to do, right? But you can receive chocolate, yes? Okay, so. And make sure the choir gets up.
And then if you go down that aisle and maybe back to the choir.
All right. The receiving of chocolate. Hopefully a new tradition at this church.